Well, good evening. It's February 4th, 2024, and today we're going to cover the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet by reading the 8 verses in this section, verses 73 through 80. And of course, the prevailing theme is developing a biblical lifestyle of remembering God and His Word. We're holding it close in our hearts and allowing it to light our lives. In Psalm 119, David is alone in prayer with God. You know, this chapter concerns the two of them. I mentioned in one of the earlier studies that no one else is involved. We get the privilege to be like that little fly on the wall and get to know and hear the thoughts and the intents of David's heart before God. So, you know, we see his heart, his desires. David lived at a time before the new birth was available. That's not the way it is for us. We live in a time when the new birth is available. And we believe on Jesus as Lord. And we have the gift of Holy Spirit within us. David did have the Spirit upon him, and as far as we know, according to the Word, it remained upon him. But what we learn from Psalm 119, that we might have comfort and patience in the Scripture, that we might have hope, is a man's passionate desire to know God and to understand His Word. And also with David, we see the boldness to go to God with exactly what you want. It's important to see David's example to speak frankly to God and to be accountable before God for his thoughts and his actions. You know, he obviously really believed that God was all-knowing, and of course, we know that God knows the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. So, David was very aware of this. So, why not just talk to him frankly? He already knows, you know. The importance of a believer's pureness of heart, though, is it's precious to God in any administration, whether it's prior to the coming of Christ or it is after the coming of Christ. The pureness of heart, the sensitivity of heart to God and spiritual issues, the desire to be spiritually minded, it's the same. Verse 73, here we go. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And again, that word learn is to be disciplined in thy commandments, to be trained. You know, the creator of everything made man. Hands refers to the open hands of God and indicates his power. And it says God fashioned man. And that indicates that he prepared him just the way he knew he would work the best. He made man ready, and his wiring of mankind was designed for retaining his word so that man would have a sense of morality. He would have a conscience, and he would accomplish that which God would have him to do. The Amplified for this reads, give me understanding and a teachable heart. What a prayer. Of all things desirable, a teachable heart. Wouldn't that have to top the list? To pray for a teachable heart. And the reason is to be able to be trained, to be able to learn God's commandments. And it requires all the attributes of humility in order that we would submit ourselves to be governed by the Word of God and what it says. That it would be the the scale for everything concerning our lives, that the word would meet it out and we would go with what the word said. Verse 74, they that fear thee, they that are in awe of God, will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And it's definitely true. The only people who are going to be joyous to regard and give attention to David are going to be the ones who are like him, people who reverenced God, those with the moral soundness. All the others would despise the very thought of him. The sight of David would anger and frustrate and cause them to conspire against him. But David hoped, meaning he waited, he expected, he trusted the word of God, he counted God faithful, and everyone who was like him in their expectations from God would want to be in David's company. God is not slack concerning his promises of manifold blessings. They just come at us in from every direction to cover every possible situation in life. What better company to have, right? What's better than one believing one on fire to do the word? Well, the more the merrier. Having two, having three, four, five, however many, the body of Christ in our day and time. Those who reverenced God looked at David and rejoiced. And the reason was because they saw he trusted God. Even though he was a king, even though he was wealthy, they knew he was physically strong. He was certainly proven, he had proven himself in the battles of life. But they rejoiced at him because he trusted in the word and he enjoyed God's victories for him. A phrase in a song kind of caught my attention this past week. I don't remember the lyric word for word, but it's along the lines of God's power being there for us in our weakness and also there when we're strong. And I thought, wow, you know, God's power is necessary in our lives because we need it every second of every day. So we're thankful for the strengths in our lives, but we cannot forget. We remember that even with those strengths we have developed in life, we need God's power every hour. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou, in faithfulness, hast afflicted me. Okay, so here we go again, this word afflicted. So we're going to look at it very carefully. First of all, the word for faithfulness speaks to the fidelity, the steadfastness, and the security of the conduct of God, the behavior, the attributes of God according to his righteous judgments. And that sets the tone for the affliction mentioned in this verse. You know, honestly, think about this. Where would the security, where would the steadfast fidelity be in God sending troubles upon David to make him humble? It's so ludicrous and it's so contradictory. But yet, it's what most theological realms in the world today teach. The Smith Van Dyke Arabic Bible interprets it this way. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and in truth you have afflicted me. the Spanish translation interprets this verse, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are justice, and that you have afflicted me according to your faithfulness. And remember last week we talked about how being humbled was another word for afflict. The Luther's German Bible reads, Lord, I know that your judgments are right. You have faithfully humbled me. And the Amplified says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are fair, and that in faithfulness you have disciplined me. Now, all these four translations that I just read, they put a specific framework around the word affliction. And the word affliction is framed to be in accordance with God's faithfulness, God's truth, his judgments. You know, it's kind of much the same as afflictions from the adversary. Wouldn't they be framed according to his unchanging nature that wants to bring evil and troubles to the world? Sure. It's kind of like the word for wrath, which just really means the strongest of emotions. So the nature of wrath totally depends on whose wrath it's referencing. And it's the same with affliction. Whose affliction is it? God's affliction or the devil's affliction? Figuratively, God's strongest emotion is love and truth. And yet, on the other hand, the devil's strongest emotion is just this insane, jealous rage against God and the enemy's wanting to destroy any and everything that God formed, made, and created. So, we have to keep these straight. It's got to fit with clear verses that say what the nature of God is. So yes, God works humility for the believer through the troubles that the enemy sends. And as was David, how deeply humbled we are when God works in our lives after the adversary dumps troubles upon us, afflictions. You know, we're humbled beyond our wildest imagination when we are in distress, and perhaps even with all of our natural abilities, and even with the scriptures we know, even with our maturity, even with the wisdom of God, we see no way out, and yet our faithful Father opens this unique way, and you just sit there because he has caused you to walk on top of the water. And when you think about the reality of that, what could be more humbling to our hearts than to see God's grace, his loving kindness, his mercies at work on our behalf? You know, afflictions of the enemy are temptations for us to sin. He just tries them out. He just comes without cause. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it tells us, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear up under it, that you would come out on top. He's going to show you that unique way. He's going to lead you. That's a promise. The word temptation in and of itself, it has many meanings. It does mean tempt. We know that the scriptures say in James, God tempteth no man. But it has many meanings. It can mean affliction, adversity, trouble. And these are all attempts from the enemy to get us to sin, to lose hope. We're not supposed to lose hope. And yet, in a moment of dire need, he wants us to bend on the truth that God is faithful. And then he would like for doubt and fear to sneak in, or maybe ruffle our feelings of self-condemnation or unworthiness for God to even dig us out, even throw us a life preserver. So the afflictions from the evil one, they're going to be around throughout life on this earth. And with the impending victory over affliction, guess what? We learn humility and witnessing God's love, his grace and mercifulness in a time of need brings our hearts to our knees, because we are just in awe of how things worked out with such praise and thanksgiving to him. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. David prays, Lord, let it be. Let it be, I pray. The Spanish Bible says, now, let your mercy comfort me according to what you said to your servant. Luther's Bible words it this way, let your grace be my comfort, as you promised your servant. And the Amplified, oh, may your loving kindness and graciousness comfort me according to your word, promise to your servant. So here David entreats God because he is craving his merciful kindness to be his comfort. And when our hearts become humbled like that of a bondservant, as one who lives to please his master, hoping in God, trusting in his faithfulness, those are the attributes in believing ones that activate God's merciful kindness to comfort us. So David says, let it be. Let it be unto me. Bring it on. And we recently read from Deuteronomy 28. We won't read it again. It's a long chapter, but it has an astounding list of promises for blessings received, for hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord God, and for observing and doing his commandments. We live in the grace administration. Being sons of God is available to us. For sure. And according to Ephesians, children of God, which we are already blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Blessings don't come to us by our works alone. Yet we are to be mindful that God's heart hasn't changed. Yes, we are blessed. And that's even more reason that we should respond to being his masterpieces that are created unto good works. It's just beautiful how that is. Verse 77 continues, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. Thy law is my delight. Now, the word let appears five times in this section. We just read one ahead of this verse. And only two of them are the same, the first usage and the last usage. There only two are the same Hebrew word. This particular word in verse 77 for let is different from all the other usages of let in this section. And it means, let your tender mercies come unto me, but it's in the sense of the tender mercies lighting upon David, that they would come upon him. And it's also has in a sense of God's tender mercies lighting upon him and the enemy having to leave. So it's kind of twofold. When the mercies of God came upon David, the enemy had to leave. And that's just the way it is, because God's light repels the darkness. The enemy afflicts us. Our hope is in God. We are humble to him. God's merciful kindness lights upon our lives, and his light is like acid to the face of the enemy. We do walk in the flesh, yes, but remember, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, we do not war after the flesh. We simply stand and withstand in this evil day, and the light within us addresses the darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Let's read it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, we don't have guns and knives and bombs, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So obedience to God through our intentional loving submission to his will, it's our spiritual offense, and it's also our spiritual defense. It's our everything. And that is how the disobedience of darkness is avenged. You know, it's built in. It's built into the light. In God's light, there is no other light. The light of God does a number on the darkness. And you know, that is why we truly don't ever have to worry or fret about troubles or about anything. We don't have to figure out how we're going to win against the enemy, because we've already won. If our heart is steadfast in God, that's us bringing our best to the table. And as awful as troubles and trials can seem at the time, they really are just a temporary pain in the tush. Nothing successfully exalts itself above the knowledge of God. It won't work. It won't work. And in light of what we've just read, verse 78 continues on. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. So here, this let be ashamed indicates that the wicked men are put to flight after their endeavors are frustrated. And I tell you what, light definitively frustrates the enemies of God. And that's how the proud are. They come without a cause. But it doesn't matter, because we are to faithfully keep ourselves Godward, looking to him, keeping our hearts and thoughts within the perimeters. Remember, we talked about the precepts, the border, the statutes of his word, the prescribed boundaries of his word. The Spanish says, let the proud be put to shame, because They have slandered me without cause. However, I will meditate on your commandments. So that's how we busy ourselves in times of affliction. We aren't left to figure out how to get even with the proud. The light of the word puts them to shame. You know, we're going to keep our nose in our own business. We're part of that family business called God and Sons. Verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. So this is yet another Hebrew word for let turn, and it means simply to return or to come back. Because those people left him when the slander began. They turned away from him. He was vile to them because of the blasphemies against him. But now, with all of this care of God, all of these mercies and light turning the afflictions of the enemy, he says, let those people return. Let those that love you return to me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Luther's German Bible says, oh, that those who fear you and know your testimonies should stick to me! Exclamation mark. And then the Amplified is great also. It says, may those who fear you with submissive wonder. Isn't that beautiful? To the definition of respecting God or being in awe, with submissive wonder. So may those who fear you with submissive wonder return to me, even those who have known your testimonies. And then here in the last verse of this section, it says, verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And here again, that let means let it be. Let it be that my heart remains without blemish, that it remains innocent, that it remains with integrity, so that I am not disappointed in my expectations. And that's why we don't have to fight the battle. We don't have to get to be vengeful or get even. We just simply look to God in all of our ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. There you go. Well, that's a great summation of this section in Psalm 119. And we love you all, and God bless your wonderful hearts.